Good morning, Southwesterners. I am honored and thankful to be able to speak at Southwestern today. The Lord has given me so much through this wonderful seminary. I came here as a single man and married, one child, second child, fulfilled with a beautiful family, and 2 degrees. Thank you, Dr. Dockery, for giving me this great honor to give back to this place I've called home. By the way, you all heard a great news yesterday, right? And thank you for your leadership, Dr. Dockery. Yes. And all the executive leaders, thank you, thank you. Thank you for taking care of our alma mater, our Southwestern. Thank you, Dr. Malcolm Yarnell. I see Dr. Williams, Dr. Weaker, Dr. Taylor, and all the professors. You have invested in me over all these years that are still sitting here in these seats. Through these God-fearing educators, Southwestern has trained up and sent so many well-equipped ministers and seminarians to our church at Semillon Church. And I believe Southwestern is a true friend to Semillon, and Semillon is a true friend to Southwestern. Amen, our church members. So we prepared a small gift, and I'll make sure I get to get this to you at the end of the service, Dr. Dockery. I've been assigned to preach in today's passage in Mark 15, 16 through 47. But for the sake of time, I will be examining the two verses, Mark 15, 38 and 39. Can we all stand up and honor the word of God and read two verses together? 38 and 39. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way, he breathed his last. He said, truly this man was the Son of God. Amen. This is living word of God. You may be seated. Thank you. I am Korean, front and back. And I grew up in Korea. And I came here to the United States for the first time when I was 20 years old for better education. If you are a fan of Korean drama, are you? Or have watched K-pop Demon Hunters? No, your seminarians don't watch Demon Hunters. But my 9-year-old girl loves K-pop Demon Hunters and Golden Song. She sings every day. If you're a fan of Korean drama, probably, maybe you heard of the term oppa. Oh, yes. Oppa is a term from a younger lady calls older brother oppa. Younger lady calls older sister onni. Can you follow me? Oppa. Onni. Okay, now you speak Korean now. Younger brother calls older brother hyung. Say hyung. Younger brother calls older sister nuna. Say nuna. Okay. So hyung, nuna, onni, oppa. 4 different words, terms, calling older siblings, right? Do you know how older sister and older brother call younger sister and younger brother? Just one word, 동생. Or ya, hey, right? The reason I'm telling you, the Korean society is very hierarchical society. Very, very hierarchical society. There's an old saying that, okay, I'll speak Korean one more time, speaking in tongue. 스승님 그림자도 밟지 말아야 된다. 스승님 그림자도 밟지 말아야 된다. Which means you must not step on your professor's or teacher's shadow. Because they must be respected no matter what. You cannot even step on their shadow. Professors, amen. That is how hierarchical society that we are and where I grew up. So hierarchy is something that I'm quite comfortable and familiar with. It is not forceful, but rather it's a warm concept to me. And when I think about top-down hierarchy, I know that in the U.S., the word hierarchy or top-down can leave a little bit of bad taste. But in my society and culture, it is quite natural. This background of mine allows me to really understand well the top-down character of God and his relationship with his people. Today, the verse says, top-down. He is never rude nor conceited. It is natural as the word of God reveals that all things on heaven and earth comes from him. He created all things and he is in all things. Therefore, our God deserves to be lifted with all the respect and glory from all creatures on heaven and earth. Amen. So let's go back to our passage. And the curtain of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. Can you follow me? From top to bottom. Top to bottom. Top to bottom. Not bottom to top. No human effort can torn the curtain. Only God did it, everything. God is everything, who did everything for the on the cross and for whole resurrection work. The cross is the work of God from top to bottom. The first point, the cross is the work of God from top to bottom. God did it all from top to bottom, not by the works of man or bottom to the top. So often we try to work and work and work to receive favor from God. We fall into legalism or religious ritual instead of being still in him. We do not out of an overflow, but out of obligation. I was in a seminary. Back in the days, I really did my best. But brothers and sisters, one thing I look back, I did so much, and I tried to manage myself, and I wanted to be on the top of everything. I wanted to control everything, grades, family, financial. But we all know we can't do that. If some of you know my background, probably don't know, so I'm telling you, I was an investment banker before I came to seminary. I was a money maker and worked for a global investment banking. And I came to seminary. I didn't know what to do. No income anymore. And family, first child, dire situation. You know what? The first thing I did at 4004 Merida Avenue, Carroll Park apartment complex, I did stock trading at night. You're not surprised. I did stock trading as a seminary student because I was so well informed about Korean market. From 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., I did stock trading. I wanted to be on the top of everything that I wanted to control. And one day I prayed in the closet, shout out to the Lord, God, why did you send me here? And God told me, Ryan, you are at Southwestern, you are a seminary, and you're preparing for yourself to be a minister and missionary and pastor, and now you still trust yourself? Not me? Can't you just trust me? Just everything from top to bottom, just trust me. Son, that is clear voice that I heard in the closet. Next day, I sold every stock I own. Because that's the confession of God, you're my Lord, you're my everything, and you're in control, not me. So top to bottom. Hebrews 10, 19, 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain that is through his flesh. The curtain is flesh. The curtain is flesh. Therefore, when the curtain was torn, we have privilege, we have confidence to enter this holy place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number two, gospel is revealed from top to bottom. When I studied world Christianity here, I read Yale University professor Lamin Sane translating the message. Here it says, Jesus did not just bring a message from heaven. He became the translation of that heavenly message into the grammar of our humanity. Jesus was a translation. Himself was the translation. And here says today's passage, going back to today's passage, 39, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that this way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. Centurion was a Gentile. And he was standing bottom of the cross and looking up, oh, he truly was the Son of God. Son of God. Now what the church does in this world, in this society, in this generation, you and me, what shall we do? Let the centurion, let the Gentiles proclaim that, oh, now I see that church. Now I see the body of Jesus Christ, that church. And now I can confess, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lord. Every sermon message, our missions, counseling, pastoring the congregation, church family, visiting their homes, hospitals, senior homes, hospices, holding newborn baby at a hospital or at a funeral, comforting the remaining family. Why we do that? Let them say, Jesus is the Lord. Holding the newborn baby, let the family say, Jesus is the Lord. And when a person is going to heaven and remaining family says, Jesus is the Lord. Every moment, that's what we ought to do. That's the message from top to bottom. I think it was back in 2010 or 2011 when worldly well-known, renowned apologetics scholar Norman Geisler came to seminary, our seminary, and he had a seminar. And my professor, Dr. Malcolm Yarnell, was there too. And we had about an hour, 1 hour and 2 hours of lecture. And I raised hand and asked him, okay, that was a beautiful and wonderful lecture. Thank you, Dr. Geisler. And what is the role of the Holy Spirit in this apologetics? I was a good student of Yarnell, right? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Really? If we can confess and convince somebody with the apologetics, yes, that is good, but what can we do? Not a clear answer that we got, but after the whole session, Dr. Yarna came up to me and says, "Ryan, that was a really good question. And let me say this. Maybe apologetics can bring the wild horse to the water, but only the Holy Spirit can make that wild horse to drink that water." Praise the Lord. Something like this. But he did so much eloquent way. You know that, right? So only the Holy Spirit does that. Only God does that. The message from top to bottom. The last third point that I would like to share with you. Your ministry is commissioned work from the top to bottom. Your ministry is commissioned work from top to bottom. Your ministry is tasked to you by God from top to bottom. He is our commanding officer. We are his servants. How wonderful it is that you are here because he desires to work alongside and through us. That's why we ought to pray, brothers and sisters. Let me ask you, before you came to our chapel service today, how long did you pray today? How's your prayer hours? Our church members do 1 hour prayer campaign these days, 1 hour every day. They're not seminarians, but they do 1 hour prayer. If the whole church, the entire church prays 1 hour, each person, the Holy Spirit works, God works, Jesus works. Regardless of language barrier, regardless of cultural barrier, whatsoever, but God does wonderful, beautiful things. Because 1 hour prayer makes us live and revive. So brothers and sisters, maybe you may heard that Korean church prays a lot and does early morning prayer. Our EM pastor, English minister, is called EMP, early morning prayer, EMP. 5 or 6 a.m. every day, we have early morning prayer. And Korean church had to do it because they had to survive. Pray to survive. Immigrants. I'm an immigrant. They're immigrants. We had to pray because without prayer, no survival. We went through a tough time. How much you pray? We're talking about seminary. Seminarians, let us pray more and kneel down. I had two beautiful, wonderful knee surgery. And they are so well done. So I always kneel down, no matter what. See? But my doctor told me, don't kneel down. But I always kneel down. No problem. Brothers and sisters, when you kneel down, God opens up the way. Cry out to the Lord, and I'll show you your way. That's his promise. Last thing that I wanted to share is our leadership philosophy that I always want to share with our church members. We do share it in the leadership seminar. So let me show you one picture. Guess who we are in this picture. Sheep. Shepherd, dogs, you see anything else? We often put our image, pastors, ministers, shepherds, right? That's very biblical. But here is my question, where is then Jesus? If you and me, we are shepherd, where is Jesus and who is Jesus? Right? That changes the whole picture, right? If the Jesus is the true shepherd, can we be shepherd? Little shepherd? Small shepherd? Assistant shepherd? Associate shepherd? Intern shepherd? Who are we? So here's what I learned from my predecessor and what we share at Simeon Church. We are the dogs. They call German shepherds. German shepherds called German shepherd because they're around the shepherd. And they're flocking the sheep together alongside with the shepherd. When sheep goes astray or go different direction, they're like, raw, 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 and then bring that sheep to the flock, the church, the congregation, our community of faith. When coyote or wolf, any beast come in and attack, what do they do? Raw, 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 and risk their lives and save the sheep. Right? That's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. And just following the true shepherd, Jesus. And later on, this is important, later on, when the German shepherd, when the dog is getting old and not really useful anymore, what would shepherd do? Just leave the shepherd in the wilderness and go on and use the new shepherd. You use the new German shepherd, the dog, right? And we always think about, oh, God, use us, use us. But there's a time that God stopped using us too. Brothers, sisters, that's a crucial message. You know what I always pray for? In the very morning, God, if you are the whole ocean, let me be just one drop of that water in that ocean. Today too, before I came to seminary, God, let me be two or three drops today, especially, because I'm preaching in front of seminarians and my alma mater and Dr. Dakri and Dr. Yarnell and all my professors. Two or three drops, that's it. That's our lives. But how wonderfully he's being used, you and me, until today. How grateful. If he stopped using me tomorrow, I'll be grateful until the day that he used me. But we're the dogs. We're the German shepherds. So go out and tell that you're the dog and true shepherd is only the Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Roar, roar! Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are at the top. We are at the bottom. We confess that oftentimes we try to take your place at the top, your place as a shepherd, true shepherd. Forgive us. We desire to seek your face. We believe that the cross is sufficient and continue to reveal to us the power of the gospel. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Use us as your shepherding dogs. Teach us how to minister to your sheep. I pray for the students, staff, and the faculty members at Southwestern to keep seeking your face. Give Dr. Dakri and our executives your wisdom, your guidance, and your protection. Please continue to use this school, this beautiful institution, to bring many to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.